Today we are beginning our study of the book of Ruth. Ruth is devoted to her mother-in-law Naomi and chose to follow her widowed mother-in-law as she returns to Judah rather than living with her own people. Naomi has led Ruth to have faith in God, and Ruth affirms that Naomi's God shall be her God and embarks on a wonderful life that's blessed by God, as we discover through reading this book. So let us encourage others to accept God and to live abundant lives that God has planned for them. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to reflect your love and your light to everyone whom we encounter. Amen. And so the passage begins in the days when the judges ruled in Israel. A severe famine came on to the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah left his town, left his home, and went into the country of Moab, taking his wife and two sons. They are Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. And when they reached Moab, they settled there. There is a severe famine, and in order to survive, Elimelech takes his wife Naomi and their two sons with them to Moab. Now, Moab had very negative connotations to the Israelites, and the people in Moab were regarded as immoral and hostile. So this is a desperate move that Elimelech makes with his family. Then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. The two sons married Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But about 10 years later, the sons died, and this left Naomi alone without her husband or her sons. Widows were dependent upon their sons to care for them. So Naomi is now living in a foreign country. Her sons and her husband have died. Not only is she experiencing emotional loss, family loss, but economic loss too. They had left Judah due to a famine, and now Naomi has found only death and emptiness. Her two sons married Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah, and that is regarded in Judah unfavorably. Then Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moab to return to her homeland. The good crops in Judah are attributed to blessings from the Lord. They're not just something that happened. They're regarded as blessings. And the blessings are for his people, the people of God. So Naomi decides to return to Judah, her homeland, her kinspeople, trusting that they will help her, as commanded by God. The people of God are required to help widows and orphans, so she, believing that they will help her, sets out. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from the place where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. So Naomi is beginning her journey to return to Judah, her home. And the daughters-in-law are traveling with her. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for your kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security of another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. When Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go back to their mother's home, she is expressing loving kindness for them. This is not rejection. She's not pushing them away. She's encouraging them to do what they need to do to be cared for. She gives them her blessing that the Lord may reward each of them for their kindness to her sons and her. When Naomi speaks to her Gentile daughters-in-law about God, she is a witness for God. With whom, dear friends, do we share our faith? Naomi gives them her blessing of another marriage, which is the only way they will be secure, because they are also widows without any means of support. They all weep, expressing their love for each other. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." Initially, they both refuse to return to their homes. They want to remain with Naomi and be with Naomi's people. But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands? No, my daughters, return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight and bear sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else?" Okay, now, in the 21st century, this just sounds like nonsense, like maybe Naomi needs some counseling or she's been disconnected with reality. But in fact, this is a Jewish tradition. And it's other places in the Bible where you see that brothers will marry their brother's widow, and when the man dies without children, and the children from that next marriage will preserve the man's name. And so that's very much of a tradition. And so that's why Naomi is mentioning this. But she goes on to say, "No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." So Naomi is regarding her circumstances bitterly, and she believes that the Lord is against her. Part of her concern for Orpah and Ruth is that they not align themselves with her, because she believes the Lord is against her. So this is loving concern for these two women that are family to her. They're her daughters-in-law. She's grieving, and anger is a normal part of the grieving process. And when people grieve, sometimes they think that God is against them, and that's part of their anger, and they attribute their difficult circumstances to God, and they may be angry with God. If someone we love is grieving, we comfort them and give them our presence, but we don't argue with them. We invalidate their feelings when we argue with them, and this is not helpful. And frankly, God is omnipotent. God does not need our help to argue with people when they're grieving. God needs us to be present, to reflect love and kindness to them, to comfort them. Allow the person to express his or her anger. I mean, after all, David expressed anger in the Psalms repeatedly, but he always concluded the Psalm with his faith in God, affirming it. I mean, one of my favorite Psalms by David is Psalm 3. He is so angry with his son who is pursuing him to possibly kill him and overthrow his government. And so David talks about, you know, smacking the jaws of my enemies so their teeth fly out. I mean, this is pretty much a red rage kind of thing. At the end, he says, "It's in your hands, God." And so there's some value in venting. And remember, God said, "David is a man after my own heart." I mean, God didn't say, "Ugh, don't be like David, that guy, whatever." No, he said, "David is a man after his own heart." David expressed the emotions. There's 150 Psalms, and while they weren't all written by David, some were written in the style of David, you will find every human emotion in those 150 Psalms. So that's part of being human, is to have feelings, but in processing them, to come back to faith in God. We can be honest, dear friends, with our emotions, with God. And what we see in Naomi is that she doesn't abandon her faith in God. She's wrestling with it. She clearly believes in God. And her redemption will occur, as we see in this story, in this book. Her witness as a believer, then, to her daughters-in-law is honest and authentic. We don't have to be shiny, happy people when we witness. We don't have to be disingenuous and put on a happy face when we talk about God. We need to be honest and to be faithful. In the book of Ruth, we don't ever see, it's four chapters, but we don't ever see God speaking directly to any of the characters in the story or acting overtly. But God is present. As we look at this story, we see God's fingerprints over their lives. We see God loving and caring for his people. And I find that comforting. We can be confident that God is present with us, too, regardless of the circumstances. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And I don't believe that God causes bad things to happen to people, but I believe God uses them for good. And we will see this occurring in the book of Ruth. And so the passage continues. "And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung tightly to Naomi." Orpah has decided to return to her people. Now, Orpah is not obligated to remain with Naomi, and it would be unfair to regard Orpah negatively for her decision. The word cling is used to describe Ruth. Now, Ruth chose to cling to Naomi, to remain with Naomi. Cling is a word that's used in other parts of the Old Testament to describe marriage vows. That's the level of deep loyalty that Ruth has to Naomi, and it's similar to a marriage loyalty. So Naomi says, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. You should do the same." The Jewish tradition is to test a new convert's faith three times and to explain to the new convert the hardships that will be associated with the faith before accepting the person's commitment, to make sure that they really understand what they're doing when they say, "I want to be part of the people of God. I want to commit to God." Three times, Naomi encourages Ruth to return to her people, to her gods, and explains the hardship of remaining with her. Ruth is committed. But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." Now, in the Hebrew text, in this part of Ruth, there are no verbs in the phrases, "your people, my people, your God, my God." Now, this is important because Ruth already believes in God. So she's not saying present tense, "your God will be my God." She's saying, "your God, my God." And she's confessing that Naomi's God is her God. Naomi has faithfully witnessed to Ruth, and Ruth has already come to believe in God. When Ruth says, "your people, my people," Ruth is acknowledging that she wants to be part of the people of God. Her statement, "may the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us," confirms that she does already believe in God. And what we see here, dear friends, is that Ruth is reflecting the love and kindness of God to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And God is present. God has not abandoned Naomi, not abandoned Ruth. God is present. To whom do we reflect the love and kindness of God? This is an important part of witness, is to reflect love and kindness to others. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go, she said nothing more. And so they continue on their journey, and they come to Bethlehem. The entire town is excited, and they say, "Is this really Naomi?" Well, Naomi's response is not particularly gracious. Again, Naomi's really doing a very good job of being transparent and honest with her feelings. She says, "Don't call me Naomi. Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has already sent such tragedy upon me? So Naomi's returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, the young Moabite woman. And when they arrive in Bethlehem in the late spring, at the beginning of the barley harvest, their lives will change. They've journeyed together from Moab to Bethlehem, but their spiritual journey is really just beginning. It continues. Now, the book of Ruth says everyone greets Naomi, and they're pleased and surprised to see her. But there's no mention of greeting for Ruth. Ruth, a young widow from Moab, a negatively regarded country and people, Ruth is truly marginalized in this new community. But she will overcome this perspective of her through love and kindness that she demonstrates for Naomi. Stick with us. The next is going to keep getting better. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Dear Lord, we thank you and praise you for the spiritual mentors that you bring to us, that you've given us. We thank you that they've pointed to us through their love and their kindness. And for many of us, that's our mothers. We ask that you help us to be spiritual mentors to others. And may we reflect your love and your kindness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.